Thank you for listening to this message. I pray that God Almighty will bless and encourage you by what you are going to hear in the next few minutes. May the reason that God caused you to listen to this message be fulfilled in the mighty name of Jesus. This is obviously a sad period for the world, as we grieve so many lives lost and being lost to the COVID-19 pandemic. I pray that the good Father will minister his peace and his love to all who are affected by the loss of a loved one at this time. I pray, O Lord, for healing, complete healing for anyone who is currently sick from this virus in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I want to start by thanking God on behalf of myself, my family, all members of King's Church, the entire Church of Christ, for a time such as this. This is indeed a time of deep reflection, a time of consecration, a time of growth in our relationship with God. I thank God for speaking to us as a church about what is to come in 2020 and how God Himself will help us to go through it. Again, I thank God on behalf of King's Church for the mini-series, Rejoice in the Lord Always. The Lord has used this mini-series to prepare us so that we can have the joy of the Lord at all times. Of course, we have been using the example of Apostle Paul, who was in far more peril than any of us has ever been, or will probably be in the future. But as we learned from the example of Apostle Paul, he was full of joy, not just for himself, but he was also full of joy for others, and he was able to encourage others to also have joy in the Lord. I hope you have benefited from this mini-series. I hope you have been incredibly blessed. I certainly will say I have been incredibly blessed. Anyone who still wants to get more of this, it is not too late to get the full benefit. Thanks to technology, all our messages are recorded, so we can all go back to listen to previous messages on the church website. Well, especially now that we have a lot of time on our hands, we are not rushing about as much as before. Praise God. The title of my message today is The Blessing of Generosity, and this is the last in the mini series of Rejoice in the Lord Always. For me, as part of my preparation, I went back to listen to a couple of previous messages which I believed are relevant to the topic of today. One of them is Caring for the Needy, which was shared on the 24th of November last year, and the other was Godliness with Contentment, which was shared on the 15th of December last year. May I suggest that if you have the time, to also please go back to listen to those messages, because some of the aspects already covered in those messages are relevant to today's message, but I will not be going much into those today. Okay, so today's text is taken from Philippians 4, verse 15 to 23. And I will just read the passage to us as we begin. From verse 15. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gift. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Yeah, I shall come back to the last two verses, verse 21 to 23, at the end of this message. The summary of what I'm talking about today is that the Bible teaches that generosity, that is the act of being kind or generous or being liberal in giving, will be rewarded by God, both in this life and in the next. In the main text that I've just read, you will note that Apostle Paul commended the Philippians for being generous to him, not because he was serving God for material wealth, but because their generosity was being credited to their heavenly account. Our generosity pleases God, and his promise is that our heart of generosity, as long as they are well intended and cheerfully given, I'll explain that later, will be rewarded. And we also have many examples in scriptures. But still, many people miss out on God's blessing through stinginess, through selfishness. And I'll explain that later also. I have a few ideas about generosity, which I would like to share with you today as you are listening, so that we can understand how this passage applies to us as individuals. So I have five short descriptions of what generosity is, and I'll go through them very quickly. The first thing is that you can only be generous with what you have. You cannot give what you do not have. Okay. Money is used to describe generosity a lot, and I will be doing the same referring to money in this message quite a lot. But let us be clear that generosity is not limited only to money or finance or material things actually. We can equally be generous with our time, with our skills, with our talents, with our knowledge. We can be generous in so many practical ways. Okay, but money is used generally as an example. So if I pick money, if you do not have any money in your pocket, no money in your account, there's no way you can give anybody money. There's no way you can be generous with your money if you don't have any. Okay? Remember, we have taught in the church that you must not steal, you must not break any of God's command just to be generous to somebody. So if you don't have any money at all in your pocket, then absolutely you cannot be generous in that respect of money. If we take the example of Apostle Paul, in this letter, he was in prison, he was in chain, he absolutely had no money or access to money, but he was generous with something else that God has given him. he was full of joy of the Lord. And so he was encouraging other people, other churches, people who are in better situation than him. He was encouraging them with the joy of the Lord. No one would have expected Apostle Paul to have any joy in the situation. But because he has God, he was filled with so much joy that he can share with so many generations even after him. The second thing I want to share about generosity is that everyone has a choice. There is no compulsion to be generous. In fact, only cheerful gifts are accepted by God. So nobody is forced to be generous. Don't feel compelled that because of this you are listening today, force yourself to be generous, because you will get it wrong. In fact, it could be more dangerous to give grudgingly than not giving at all. And I will cite a very quick example in the Bible. We know the story of Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife, in the book of Acts, chapter 5, from verse 1 to 10. This couple sold their land and they want to give the money to the church. You know, they promised to sell their land and give the full amount to the church. But what did they do? They took part of the money outside and presented the rest as a full amount that they've dedicated to God. They were both destroyed. They both died on the spot. Let us deal with our heart first. Then our giving will be cheerful and acceptable to God. As the apostle described it in the text for today, once we give willingly, cheerfully, that offering will be a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. There's no compulsion in giving, absolutely not. And we can see even from the story from the apostle's letter to the churches that not every church gives to his work. In fact, he commends the Philippian church for being the only church who gave to his ministry. If you go back to read from the book of Corinthians, he had to encourage them. He had to explain to the Corinthians about what is the generosity, what is the blessings that is there in being generous. He had to remind them that whoever sowed sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will reap generously. Apostle Paul had to encourage the Corinthians very specially, you know, to tell them that God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to bless abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 from verse 5 to 9. Some people need to be encouraged, but the most important thing is that people should choose to give willingly, to give cheerfully, and that is what will be accepted by God. The third thing I want to say about generosity is what I call the arithmetic of true generosity. Listen to this. The quality of your generosity is inversely proportional to the quantity of what you have. What I'm saying is that the more you give from a less quantity, the more generous you are, actually. And I'll use a quick illustration from the Bible. You remember the story of the poor widow in Mark chapter 12 from verse 41 to 44. You see, Jesus was in the temple and he was looking at people putting money in their offerings. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins. They were worth only a few cents. But what did Jesus say about her? Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. The quality of our giving is inversely proportional to the quantity we have. So if you give more with less that you have, then you are more generous than others. The fourth thing I want to share about generosity is that, you know, the level of blessing from God is directly proportional to our level of generosity. That is, what we give predicts what we get. The Bible makes it clear in many scriptures in the Bible. But I'll just cite one for you in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It said, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Okay, there are many other scriptures that shows that the more you give, the more you get. Unfortunately, some of the false prophets, false pastors, they use this to dupe people. So they, all these prosperity churches and teachings, they always say give, 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 with the wrong intention to con people, to defraud people of their money. It's unfortunate. Okay, but actually, God promised that the more you give, the more you get. It's just that some human pastors and preachers, they've used that to enrich themselves, you know, and live a life that is not worthy of calling themselves Christians. But that's not where I'm going. Please, once again, if you are in a church that you believe whatever you give, it's not being used for the work of God, it's being used to enrich a pastor or a minister of God, then move away from there. Don't just stop giving. Move away. Find a true Bible-believing church where your offering, your gift will be used, you know, to progress the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The last thing I want to share about generosity is that there are challenges to being generous. You know, if true generosity is giving more out of less, it is not always going to be easy to be generous. In fact, it will not be a generous act if it was that easy to do. If you remember, King David said, the man after God's heart, he said in a negotiation over a piece of land that somebody wanted to give him for free, David said, "No, I insist on paying for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." We have so many other examples in the scriptures. For you to be generous, it has to cost you something. You have to give more from less that you have. I've already mentioned the example of the poor widow who gave everything she has to the Lord. You can think of Abraham, for example. He was rich, very rich, but he was still generous. And the example that comes to me in terms of his life is how Abraham separated from his nephew Lot. Abraham was the father. He was the one who was the big man. He could have taken anything he wanted around him and told Lot where to go. But what did Abraham do? He asked Lot to choose first. He said, "Pick wherever you want, whatever you think is right. You go there and I will go the other way." Of course, Lot picked what he thought was the best land around. But still, Abraham was blessed. Okay, so those are five quick things about generosity, just to remind us what true generosity is. I'll go to the blessing of generosity, because being generous is not that easy to do. We need to remind ourselves on why we must be generous. And I'm only going to use two examples, broad examples, I must say, about the blessing of generosity. One is the blessings of eternity, and the other is blessings for the world. So that's how I separate the blessing today. Generosity is a requirement for eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus commands us to follow his example and be generous with every blessing he has given us. The same Jesus said and repeats that if you love me, you will obey my command. I hope we all know this is what we preach in this church, that no one who is disobedient to Jesus' command will make it to eternity with him. So we all have to be careful. Jesus' command on how we use our money, if we obey it, will prove to us that Jesus, not mammon, not money, is our God. It will prove to us that we have placed our full trust in him and that we are deliberately choosing to store our treasures in heaven. The Bible asks us the question in 1 John chapter 3 verse 17. It says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Jesus specifically taught that our generosity to our fellow believers will be used to judge us on the last day. You know the story in Matthew chapter 25 from verse 31 to 46, the story of the sheep and the goat, which illustrates that Jesus will judge the righteous and the unrighteous, will separate them by how we treat our fellow brothers and sisters. I am sure we will all want to hear Jesus say to us, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Everything that we do for a brethren, a fellow believer in Christ, Jesus is reckoning it and is counting them as reward for us. May we have more to show at the end of our time here in the mighty name of Jesus. The second thing, blessing of generosity, is that we have guaranteed reward right here, right now in this world. And I'll only give a few examples because it is all over in scripture that whatever you are generous, whenever you are generous to God, God doesn't forget that. God always repays us back. In fact, the psalm said in Psalm 37, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. God is able to bless us more than we can, you know, we need if we are generous, if we are obedient in being generous to him. We can all expect to be a conduit or a distributor of God's blessing. You know, the more you give out, the more God pours into you. So you will be receiving from God and you'll be sharing with others. We are just a conduit. God is just using us to bless more and more people as we give more. But as that psalm said, it's not just about you, your children. We never go begging for bread. In fact, in the last verse, Psalm 37, verse 26, he who is ever lending generously, his children become a blessing. So as you are blessed, your family, your children will also be blessed. And I'll mention one other blessing of generosity in this aspect. And it's taken from Psalm 41, verse 1 to 3. Say, blessed is the one who considers the poor in the day of trouble. The Lord delivers him. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on his sick bed. In his illness, you restore him to full health. Hallelujah. There are so many hidden benefits of generosity that if we don't bring ourselves down to think about them, to thank God for them, if we are only counting the pennies that we can see around us, the enemy will use that to deceive us. And we say, look, this God, you are silent. You don't have this. You don't have that. You don't have that. The enemy will not remind you of what God has done for you that you did not see. But the Bible will, and the Holy Spirit will. So let's listen to God more. Let's focus on the first benefit more, which is we will make it to eternity. We will have all our possessions in heaven, in the new earth, in the new heaven with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the best benefit. That is the best blessing of generosity. Whatever we get in this world, we won't take them with us anyway. But God still says He will bless us here. If we look around, we will see so many of that blessings around us. Okay. You must have heard from what I've said so far some examples of what true generosity should be like. What I've said in summary is that true generosity comes from the heart. It's not grudgingly given, it is cheerfully given. True generosity is when you do not expect a payment in return. So it is best directed at people who are poor, somebody who will not be able to pay you back, but God will. True generosity is best given in secret. Anybody who expects, you know, reward by the people acknowledging that what they've given, they've already received their benefit. They've already received their blessing. It is best given in secret. Generosity is motivated by love. If you love the person you are being generous to, you will give more than, you know, than what you have. That is why generous people always give more from the less that they have, and God will bless them more. But the best example of generosity is shown by the Godhead, by the triune God. You know, God is not served by human hands as if He needed anything from us. Rather, He Himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. God the Father is so generous that He gave us His most precious, His one and only Son, the one He loves most, the one that has been with Him from the beginning of time. God gave Him to us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus Christ, God the Son, was so generous that He came down to us as a man, laying down His royalty and His splendor to bear the sins of the entire world on Himself, so that we may be saved. You know, the Bible says, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ knew that not everybody will accept His generosity, but still, He did it for every single one of us. God, the Holy Spirit, is so generous that He's willing to pour His gifts on anyone who is born of God, no matter how many billions that may be on earth at this time. If they ask, if their intention is good, God, the Holy Spirit, will pour His Spirit upon us. You see, it is incredibly sad that many are still rejecting God's most generous gift today, the gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the best example of generosity you can think of. Sometimes people reject God because of a material thing, because they didn't have a car or a job or something that silly. But These people failed to realize that he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? That's in Romans 8:32. I'm going to round up very quickly. But what should be our response? What should be our response after listening to this message? And I must acknowledge my brethren in King's Church, members of the church, adults, young people, children. I must acknowledge you and commend you for your consistent high level of generosity in giving and service to the Church of Christ. This is demonstrated in all areas of our church life. I am not surprised that the Lord is pouring his blessings on all of us. Our God has been faithful to us and to his promises over us as a church that we will not lack. And as many as everyone that comes under that umbrella to say, I will give to God, God will make sure you will not lack. And we will continue to prosper to the glory of his holy name. So thank you, King's Church. You're doing fantastic well. But at this time of deep reflection for our entire world, I believe we still need to repent on behalf of the nation, for our lack of generosity as a nation, for not trusting God in his ability to meet all of our needs as a nation, for hoarding what he has given us to bless others, and for our general disobedience as a nation. For anyone who is listening, who think they can still be more generous, and I put myself in that category, I can do more. I should do more for God. Let us repent as Apostle Peter did in John chapter 21. You know the story is a fascinating story. Apostle Peter was called to follow Jesus. He was discipled by Jesus for 3 years. He disowned the Savior 3 times in one night. And then after Jesus is died, risen, Apostle Peter still went back to his old job as a fisherman. And after a night of toiling without catching any fish, Jesus showed up and showed Peter how to catch many fish just by following a simple instruction from the Lord. And then Peter had to confess his love for Jesus. He had to say 3 times that he loves the Lord more than this, more than the fish he went after, more than the job, more than the money that comes in. But Jesus did not rebuke him, you know. Jesus just gives him a new command. He says, feed my sheep, take care of my sheep, and follow me. Jesus is waiting for all of us to confess, to repent, and to confess that we love him more than anything that we've made to become our idols. We can make that same decision that Peter made today. We can follow Jesus' instruction. We can follow his call for us to feed his sheep, to take care of his sheep, and to follow us. And I'll round up with very quick practical application. The first thing, pay your tithes and offerings. The 10% is a minimum. In Malachi 3:10, the Bible says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. This is the only place I've seen in scripture where God said, test me. Nobody tests God. But God is saying on this one, test me and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Pay your tithe, that's the minimum. If you're not doing that, you haven't started at all. Number 2, let us give all of ourselves as worship to the Lord. You see, not because of fear, not because we feel guilty alone and it's an emotional response. No. Let us reflect on it and make up our mind, as the Bible says in Romans 12, chapter 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. As I prepare for this, I was thinking, what if God was expecting a minimum of 10% of our day to worship Him, to praise Him? 2.4 hours in every 24 hours, minimum 10%. How many of us spend that amount of time to pray, to seek God? The third practical application, I would say, is let us all look out within the church for people who needs help, and then to offer that practical support that people need. If you don't ask, if you don't form relationship with people, you might not know, because we all dress up nicely when we meet in the churches. But actually, how are people doing? What support can you offer a brother and a sister in the church? And the Bible says that if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, Jesus said, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. The most important, I would say, practical application is let us be generous everywhere else. Whether we're at home or we're at work, whether in social gatherings, let us be generous. But let us link, this is very important, let us link our generosity to sharing the gospel. Because that's the most generous gift that anybody can get, is the gift of salvation. Let us focus our helping, our support, our being kind to people outside of the church. We need to tell them that we are Christians. We are Christ followers, Christ disciples. We need to let them know, because we are being generous because of the love of Christ in our heart. We need to use the opportunity of our generosity to share the gospel, to tell somebody of our testimony. Because many people are dying around us right now that needs to have this gift of eternal life. I pray that God will open all of our eyes to look around us, to see who we can bless within the church, and to see who we can bless outside of the church, to the glory and honor of His holy name. And I want to end today's message and the mini-series with the last two verses of Philippians, Philippians 4, 21 to 23. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.